This is right in line with previous North Korean activity, canceling talks just hours before they were scheduled to happen.
North Korea calls off talks with the South. It's Wednesday, May 16th. This is VOA Asia. Hello and welcome. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, U.S. and Chinese trade negotiators meet again. Soybean farmers are concerned about trade. VOA Asia business scene, containing rabies, chasing the American dream in Hollywood. It's all on today's VOA Asia. North Korea has canceled Wednesday's high-level talks with the South and says the United States will have to undertake careful deliberations about the fate of the upcoming summit between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and U.S. President Donald Trump because of joint U.S.-South Korean military exercises. Pyongyang's state-run news agency said the Max Thunder exercises are a, quote, rehearsal for invasion of North Korea and a provocation despite what appears to have been warming ties between the North and South. VOA White House correspondent Steve Herman was among the first to tweet the news. He joins us by telephone from the White House.
I've been trying to get a response from the administration, including the president himself, about this. As the president came out of the Oval Office, headed to Marine One this afternoon to go visit again the First Lady at Walter Reed Medical Center, I shouted to the president what he thought about the possibility, the threat from North Korea canceling the high-level talks. The president did not respond. We've put in questions about it to the White House press office and also to the National Security Council, which have also not responded. It seemed to catch people unaware. When I went to tell this to a White House deputy press officer, he was not aware of it. At the State Department this afternoon, the spokesperson was also asked about it and seemed initially to not have been briefed about the dispatch from Pyongyang, and then said that planning for the summit in Singapore is going ahead.
The two Koreas were set to hold a meeting later Wednesday at a border truce village to discuss setting up military and Red Cross talks, all part of the discussions that have been going on. This probably is not exactly a big surprise, given the history of North Korea and talks.
No, this is right in line with previous North Korean activity, canceling talks just hours before they were scheduled to happen, blaming a bilateral defensive exercise between the United States and South Korea, which it has also known about for a long period of time. This, to most analysts, will be seen as posturing, an attempt to get some leverage. The Unification Ministry in Seoul has acknowledged that it received word about this. And what may be different this time around is President Trump, when he does comment on it, which could come in a tweet at any time, may not respond in a way that the North Koreans are used to hearing from the United States. In other words, the president may be less than diplomatic. He has said before that he's hopeful and optimistic about the talks and a positive outcome, but there's always a possibility that it could be scrapped. And he has said when he sits down with Kim Jong-un, if he doesn't like what he's hearing, he will respectfully leave the table.
President Trump has had an excellent ally in Moon Jae-in, the president of South Korea, in helping to break the ice and conduct these discussions. I would imagine the South Koreans are right on this.
Yes, I think what is significant right now with what has happened is for President Moon to decide if he wants to see the talks between Kim Jong-un and President Trump take place before rescheduling or having these high-level South Korean-North Korean talks take place.
Developments are continuing as we speak. You can follow Steve Herman, our VOA White House correspondent, on Twitter at W7VOA. Steve, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
These are among some of the top Asia stories currently trending on VOAnews.com. North Korea tells United States to carefully deliberate the fate of Kim Trump summit. Highway overpass collapses in India, killing at least 16. China accuses European Union of taking WTO back to, quote, law of jungle. UN prepares to boost food aid to North Korea. Vietnam pollution comes at a price. Expanded coverage of these stories and much more are to be found on Facebook at VOA Asia as well as the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The United States faces multiple trade issues this week, revamping the 24-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, discussions with the European Union on exemption from steel and aluminum tariffs, and ways to avoid a trade war with China. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross told the National Press Club in Washington the gap with China remains wide as a new round of talks with Vice Premier Liu He are underway.
It's difficult to handicap the outcome, but my hope is that the strong personal relationship between President Trump and President Xi will facilitate an agreement, just as it seems possibly to be doing relative to North Korea.
The Chinese telecom company ZTE was found to be in violation of U.S. sanctions on North Korea and Iran and banned from importing U.S. components for 7 years. On Sunday, Mr. Trump tweeted he and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping were working together to give ZTE a way to get back into business, saying too many jobs in China are at risk. On Monday, Mr. Trump tweeted ZTE buys a big percentage of individual parts from U.S. companies. University of Chicago political science professor Dali Yang tells VOA's Victor Beatty the sanctions against the Chinese telecom giant have been crippling,
which has already suspended the sale of many of its products within China and, in fact, globally. The second tweet is much more an effort to explain to Americans why he was doing or he was actually giving such a directive, because there was actually quite a bit of a complaint on social media in particular on why he was doing so, and to some extent, he was actually short-circuiting the law. Now he's emphasizing, however, that this is actually not just good for ZTE for China, but in fact is designed to help American suppliers.
I understand that in China, ZTE Corporation is a very big deal, perhaps even bigger than the threatened tariffs on some $50 billion worth of Chinese goods.
Well, it's the single largest state-owned telecom gear company. And, of course, it carries national ambitions in terms of development, industrial policy, and all that. It turned out, of course, ZTE relies for its inputs on American suppliers, and the sanctions essentially forbade ZTE from buying many products from American suppliers such as Qualcomm.
Do you see any linkage between the ZTE Corporation case and the upcoming next round of U.S.-China talks here in Washington this week?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, the last round in Beijing essentially produced a standoff between the two parties. And, of course, both sides know that they are staring down at a precipice if actually the talks fail eventually. So I think actually both sides are trying to facilitate to say, well, let's do certain things to help each other in a way as we move forward. For the U.S. side, with the directive by President Trump, that actually allows the Chinese to say, well, look at what the Americans are doing. They are actually relieving the sanctions potentially, I have to emphasize, on ZTE. That's a goodwill gesture. We can now move forward. In fact, already the Chinese regulators are beginning to actually process the application for Qualcomm to acquire a European company. In fact, it also makes it much easier for the Chinese side to actually sort of step forward in its negotiations with the American side. And, of course, in trade negotiations, we are looking at potentially concessions on both sides. So I do think actually this is sort of the efforts by the president help to pave the way for the next step in terms of the negotiation.
While neither side wants to be seen as backing down, he said there is room for compromise. Wilbur Ross dismisses talk of a trade war cutting U.S. growth and causing inflation. He said China has more to lose than does the United States. Happening now in Asia, the head of the United Nations World Food Program says the North Korean leadership is hopeful that following a possible denuclearization deal, the international community will increase humanitarian aid for millions of people in the country who are living in poverty and suffering from malnutrition. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Thank you for listening. As U.S. farmers head to their fields to plant this year's crop, they're facing new challenges created by Chinese threats to impose tariffs on some of their products. It's the latest salvo in an escalating trade dispute that has farmers warily watching fluctuating commodity prices as the United States Department of Agriculture projects net farm income in 2018 to reach a 12-year low. VOA's Kane Faribault has more from Illinois.
Farmer Scott Halpin is entering another year of high prices for seed and fertilizer. And low prices for the corn and soybeans his family is planting on farmland outside Morris, Illinois.
The equipment's expensive, land's expensive, and it costs a lot of money to put the crop in the ground.
Now there is the threat of Chinese tariffs on U.S. soybeans. A retaliatory move in the wake of pending U.S. tariffs on Chinese aluminum and steel that could further impact Halpin's bottom line.
Soybeans make up about just under half of our crop rotation, and it's a real important part of our farming operation here.
And there are reports that buyers in China, the world's top consumer of soybeans, have stopped purchasing supplies from the U.S., even before tariffs are in place.
It can hurt when things happen on a daily basis. Just kind of uncertain times here in farming.
Uncertain but not unbearable, says Phil Flynn, senior market analyst with the Price Futures Group and a contributor to Fox Business News.
Even though China's talking tough, they realize that they cannot get into a trade war with the United States. Because they have a lot more to lose right now than we do.
According to the USDA, China imports about 63% of the total world export of soybeans and is the second largest export market for U.S. grain products.
The world's changed. There's not a lot of places that can replace American soybeans in the near term. So, and the tariffs are probably not going to be enough to change Chinese purchases because at the end of the day, there's going to be a time and place where the only place they can get their soybeans that they're going to need desperately and their soybean meal is going to be the United States, even at a higher price.
Scott Halpin says he understands the big picture and the need for fair trade, but farmers could use a little security in tough economic times.
We understand that there's inadequacies in the overall trade, but yeah, it makes us a little uneasy that the soybean market is such a volatile part of the ag economy, and China's such a big player. We need China.
Or someone else to step up and take China's place.
I guess historically we know that the markets should come back and somebody will pick up the slack. If China's buying from another country, somebody else is going to be looking for our soybeans. It would just be nice to have more stability in it.
While the uncertainty isn't changing the Halpin family's overall plans this planting season, it could be a different story during harvest time later this year.
The prices and the markets dramatically affect how we do things on the farm.
So does the weather, the other great uncertainty all farmers face. Kane Faribault, VOA News, Morris, Illinois.
Coming up, a telecom crisis and new energy for Indonesia. You're listening to VOA Asia.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
This news from VOA Asia, even before U.S. and Chinese officials were sitting down this week for a second round of high-level trade talks in Washington, both sides have signaled a willingness to try to make a deal, or at least meet each other halfway. We're always here to meet you at VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the ZTE telecom controversy between China and the United States and more power for Indonesia are the topics on this week's VOA Asia Business Scene with Skylar Ogden.
President Trump this week said that he wants to help Chinese telecom equipment maker ZTE get back on its feet. ZTE was forced to suspend its worldwide operations after U.S. officials punished the company for breaking sanctions against North Korea and Iran. ZTE is mainly known for selling smartphones. Many of its products contain American software or components. So by selling a phone to North Korea or Iran, ZTE violated sanctions because of the American-made products and technologies inside of the phone. Last year, ZTE acknowledged its guilt and paid a $1.19 billion fine, but it didn't follow through on all aspects of its agreement with the United States. As punishment last month, the U.S. Commerce Department forbade American technology companies from selling their products to the telecom company for 7 years. The decision sent ZTE into a downward spiral, forcing it to shut down many of its operations. The company hires some 70,000 people across the globe, and many Chinese jobs are at stake. The ZTE ban is also expected to cause sizable losses for the company's key American suppliers in both revenues and jobs. Some analysts say that Trump will likely use the ban as a bargaining chip in U.S.-Chinese trade relations, or to potentially get Beijing on board a future deal it strikes with North Korea. But how the president's statements will play out remains to be seen. Work is being completed on a thermal power plant in central Java, Indonesia, bringing 10,000 jobs and power to the island's province. The Cilacap power plant is a Chinese-owned coal-fired power plant that supplies 11 billion kilowatts of electricity for the power grid annually. Many locals credit the plant with improving their livelihoods. Sosin is an Indonesian employee of the Cilacap power plant.
I came to work for the Chinese company in 2015. Now I am married and have built a new home. Our life is getting better and better.
According to the latest reviews from the International Energy Agency, Indonesia is the world's fourth largest producer of coal and a top coal exporter. Of all fossil fuels, coal releases the largest amount of carbon dioxide per kilowatt hour of electricity and heat produced. Construction of the Cilacap power plant began in 2008 and is in its final stages of completion. For VOA's Business Scene, I'm Skylar Ogden.
This news from VOA Asia. Pyongyang state-run news agency said the Max Thunder exercises are a rehearsal for invasion of North Korea and a provocation despite apparent warming ties between the North and South. A State Department spokeswoman pointed out Kim has said he understands the importance of such exercises to the United States. The story is developing. Stay on top with VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the British charity Mission Rabies is hoping to eradicate the deadly rabies virus around the world by the year 2030. A team of veterinarians has once again traveled to southern Malawi to vaccinate thousands of dogs. Malawi has in the past reported elevated numbers of child deaths from rabies, but now 3 years into this initiative, the organizers say they're seeing progress. Lamech Messina reports for VOA from Blantyre.
Another massive vaccination campaign is underway in Malawi. The goal is to eradicate rabies in the African country. Dog bites are the source of nearly all rabies infections in humans. Mission Rabies has vaccinated about 250,000 dogs in Malawi since 2015.
We only had one person dying from within Blantyre City in 2017. So we did really have a big decrease in the number of rabies cases, but we also know it is an underreported disease. So often people wouldn't know what their child actually died of. Cerebral malaria is one of the diseases that can look very similar. So there are possibly more cases, but it definitely there has been a big decrease.
Mission Rabies swung into action after researchers reported in 2012 that five children had died of rabies in just 3 months at a single hospital in southern Malawi, the highest toll of any institution on the continent. Even when rabies infection is identified, clinics in Malawi often lack the necessary drugs to treat it. So this initiative has two aims: prevent dogs from getting infected and prevent children from getting bit. The team shows children how to avoid a dog attack and what actions to take if bitten by a potentially rabid dog.
We target children because most of the times children tend to stay close to dogs and play with them.
With the owner's consent, the dogs are also sterilized.
Because if all the dogs that we vaccinate today, if they go off and have lots of puppies, all those puppies are unvaccinated, and then that dilutes the vaccination.
Mission Rabies aims to one day vaccinate at least 70% of dogs nationwide. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
Whether they're superheroes, villains, or robots on Hollywood Boulevard, impersonators are everywhere. These characters from around the world, adamant tip hunters, are part of the Hollywood entertainment industry. Among them is a woman from Nigeria who decided to try her hand at this type of work. VOA's Arzuma Kampore takes us to meet her.
Hi.
Welcome to Hollywood Boulevard. One of the most iconic avenues in the world. It is where impersonators disguise themselves as Hollywood celebrities for the amusement of tourists. One imitator is Amaka, a Nigerian who came in search of the American dream. For now, she is Storm, the character from Marvel comics and films capable of controlling time, and she is particularly proud of it.
My name is Storm.
Huh?
Storm. Some people, they will come to you, they don't know how to pose. Then I will tell them, you have to place the hand on your knees and just give them the swag, you know, California swag. They like the pictures and they love what we do.
But behind the excitement and the laughter are the realities of an unpredictable job.
More difficult is coming here with high expectations. You're expected to make money and you don't make nothing. Photo time.
One of the first things that tourists learn is that a photo with the stars is anything but free.
They're supposed to understand that's how it works in Hollywood. Most of my black brothers, they don't like tipping. Do you have any tip for me?
Not at the moment.
A dollar here, $5 there, and a few friends along the way. She can't please everyone all the time, but Lady Storm intends to seize her luck in Hollywood.
I just feel that Hollywood is a place where dreams come true if you try harder. If you put yourself in that position that I'm going to succeed, whether good or bad.
And it may start with a confession to her husband, who is chief in Nigeria.
My husband is really encouraging me. He didn't know that I'm in Hollywood, and he didn't know that this is what I do. Eventually, he's going to know. Then I'll tell him that I've learned a lot. I know I'm the chief wife, but then I'm not doing anything bad, you know. I'm making something good for me and my kids. Future time? One day, I'm going to be a star. I'll be on the stage and talk to numerous people. Tell them what it takes to be a star.
While she waits her turn to be a star, Amaka continues her crisscross on Hollywood Boulevard, always looking for new tourists to pose with, and perhaps a few good tips.
Hello.
Arzuma Kampore, VOA News, Hollywood.
Hi, picture time. Hello.
And as people from all around the world come to the United States to seek the American dream, we enjoy bringing you their stories. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. You'll also find us on Facebook. And for those of you listening in Myanmar, we're glad to have you with us today, joining us by Facebook on VOA Burmese. Thanks for listening. We also thank our director, Tracy Carter, engineer, Jonah Cummings, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, including Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, and Doug Bernard. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day.